Let's talk about AI. I don't know about you, but I know I'm not using the AI tools we have today to their fullest potential. And today we're going to talk about how course creators can use AI as assistants and get into the nitty-gritty of how to get the most out of it.
Regular people are taking their knowledge and content, packaging it up in an online course, and they're making a living doing it. But not everyone is successful with online courses. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And I'm here to help course creators actually succeed with online courses. Hi, I'm Jacques Hopkins, and this is the Online Course Show.
Hey, hey, it's Jacques Hopkins and welcome in. You're listening to the show all about online courses and running an online course business. And if you're listening to this podcast, then you're probably also someone who should be subscribed to my free email newsletter. It's called Jacques Journal. And every Friday, I'll send you one actionable tip so you can get on the fast track to a simple, profitable, and impactful online course business. Subscribe for free at oc.show/tips. That's oc.show/tips. All right, on today's podcast episode, I'm joined by Brian McAnulty. Brian is the founder of Heights Platform, an AI-powered online course platform, and he is just a wealth of knowledge in how course creators specifically can use AI to their advantage. In this conversation, Brian walks us through how course creators are using AI wrong and what he recommends instead. And he even walks us through his four-part framework to get the most out of prompting AI and actually getting it to perform as your assistant. So let's get into it. What's going on, Brian? Welcome to the Online Course Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start with kind of a meaty question. What are you seeing as far as how course creators are leveraging AI in their businesses and their courses? And how does that compare to like what they should be, how they should be utilizing it?
Yeah, that's an excellent question to start off. I think there's an incredible amount of interest in finding a way to use AI as a creator, but there's also an incredible amount of confusion among course creators. And so I see way too many creators either treat it as like a search engine that they almost put in a search term and then expect a response like that, or that they think what everybody's saying is the best way for them to use it is to have it do everything for you. And I disagree with that. I don't think that is the best approach for a creator. To start off, mainly because if you ask AI to make you a course about a certain topic, and somebody else asks AI to make a course about a certain topic, it's the same course, you know? And your value as a creator is your unique message and your unique experiences. And that's often a big part of the reason why people are purchasing from you and not a potential competitor. But the power that I see in where creators can use AI is to treat it more like an assistant or a teammate and realize that you don't have to have only one AI assistant. People think, oh, I have ChatGPT, I've got my AI assistant, but you can have as many as you want. So you can think of it as if, especially if you're a solo creator, that you get to build out your whole team of these AI teammates that you can have work in different ways for you. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, it also makes it a lot easier for you to be able to utilize AI in a way that it will give you information and results that are helpful, because we've all tried by this point where you ask the AI a question, gives you an answer, seems plausible, looks like a good idea, but when you really look into it, actually it's completely wrong. And when you treat AI as a search engine and just ask it questions, rely on its training data, that's when you have a big potential for it to potentially hallucinate, as they call it, and give you a wrong answer. Whereas if you can instead give AI all the context that it needs about you, about what you're doing, about what the problem is, about how you want it to solve the problem, then it's really excellent at taking that information and transforming it in a way that can be useful to you, and also is much less likely to make things up along the process.
So it sounds very intriguing in theory. I work really well with like specific examples. So if we could take what you said and apply it to a specific example, let's say hypothetically we have somebody looking to start a piano course in 2024. What you're saying is don't go to ChatGPT and say, hey, write me a curriculum for a piano course for beginners. Don't do that. But you can utilize it as your assistant or multiple assistants. Like what does that look like?
Sure. Yeah. So the analogy that I like is you go to AI and you ask it a question. And then so many people say, oh, I'm not satisfied with this result. AI is dumb, something like that. But you have to compare that to basically walking to some random person off the street and saying, hey, do this for me. They have no context about who you are, about what you're trying to accomplish, about how you want them to perform that task. And if you had an actual employee on your team, they'd have this inherent context. They would know what your company is, what your goal is, all these different things in the background. And so it can be tedious to first set up, but if you have some kind of standard operating procedure for a virtual assistant, a teammate, that's the same kind of thing you want to provide to the AI to get the best results for you. So what you're describing of like having the AI help you with an outline, that's a great example because it is good at helping you brainstorm ideas. That's one of the things I love to use AI for, is like a creative brainstorming partner, helping me understand things and doing it for that more than like trying to ask it to make the content for me. So inside my platform, we have Heights AI, and the difference with it and ChatGPT is it's built to understand like the context of your course, your community, your coaching program, whatever it is that you're building. And so it's helping you out in a way that when you ask it a question, it already knows things about your business and what you're doing. You don't have to write all of that in every single time. But the way we look at it, like what Heights AI will do, is it can make you an outline. It will actually take your course title. It'll give you feedback on that. But the way that it's giving you feedback and the way that we actually built it internally is that we gave it guidelines and said, hey, this is our guidelines. This is how we would review somebody's course title and tell them that they should adjust it so they're really communicating the result. And so when you're asking Heights AI that, it's using those guidelines. And so for yourself, if you ask ChatGPT the same thing, you might get something that seems kind of useful, but it's not going to be the same because it doesn't know those guidelines. And so you can apply this yourself in your company by looking at a process that you have, something you do repetitively, and thinking of those guidelines you have, writing them out in the same way you'd write out to a teammate. And then you can provide the AI with input about that and get a response out that will be helpful.
Could you give me a more specific example of that? Like we can go hypothetical with my piano course, somebody creating a new piano course, or maybe somebody you've seen, you've worked with that's utilizing Heights AI or something else to do exactly what you're talking about. Like is there an example of something inside the business that you could walk us through?
Sure. So what I want to kind of share with everybody here is my structure for how I would write a prompt into ChatGPT to get you like the kind of results that I'm talking about. And in order to provide it that context, I like to break it down into four parts of a prompt that are important. So you don't have to use any specific tool, but almost any AI tool this is helpful to use with, and especially ChatGPT because it's not starting off with all of this knowledge about you. So the first thing is the general instructions. And that is like, what is this AI? How should it work? So you're an assistant, you're a coach, you're a brainstorming partner, defining just generally what it's supposed to do, how it's supposed to communicate, maybe the type of like personality it's supposed to have, if anything. Then after that, you have your second thing, you have your guidelines. This is all of your rules, essentially, for the process. It's actually good to list this out like a bulleted list, either with numbers or dashes. And I like to use Markdown format. If anyone's familiar with Markdown for writing in note-taking apps, things like that, ChatGPT understands that really well. But essentially for a list, it's just the same as how you would write a list and typing it. And write out each of the steps and be specific. Make this a specific task. AI is really good at specific tasks. You can't say, make me $1 billion. It's not going to be able to go and do that just yet. But you write out all the steps in that process. Now, number three is you have the response format. And this is the thing that I think most people miss. And you can tell ChatGPT or an AI to respond the way that you want. So if you wish that it was going to give you like a header of these different sections and then a bulleted list and then maybe make a table, you can instruct it to do that and say like, okay, I want for my course idea, I want you to review my course idea, look at the curriculum list that I've come up with so far. After your response, like write a paragraph about your feedback. And then at the end, give me a rating from 1 to 100 based on how likely you think this would get somebody to the result they're after. And you can tell it to act that way. And then every time you input something to it, it will give you that response back in exactly the format you want. And finally, because this can be hard to really dial in and take some back and forth for you to make that prompt really work the way that you want, is number four, and that is response examples. So you can actually take an example input of an example question, and then write out the exact way you would respond to that question, or you would want the AI to respond to that question. It could be down to the exact formatting, the length, the tone, and put that in the prompt as well as an example. And then when the AI goes and responds to you for your actual question, it has that, like you've basically trained it with that one or two examples that you've put in there, and it's going to be much more likely to understand what you're looking for.
All right, let me make sure I'm understanding you. Let's say I want to get help with some content creation, like on social media. Let's say I want some help with creating short form content, YouTube shorts, something like that, TikTok. And so I want to have this this AI content assistant. So what you're saying is the first thing I need is to define who it is. So, yep. So what would that look like? Would I say, you are a world-class content creator in the piano niche?
Yeah, something like that. You've probably heard like people say that you should call it an expert or tell it it's a world-class creator, that kind of thing. And that is actually useful in how it performs. And an interesting way to look at this, I think you might appreciate this as a musician, is that I like to look at it as an instrument. And what's happening when you tell it that it's an expert at whatever it is or world class, it's actually going into that space in the training data. Imagine that you're all the stars in the sky and there's some stars are closer to others. It's going into that space where there's these points of what an expert would say. And so you're reminding it to like stick in this area of what are the things that expert would say versus somebody who's just blabbing about stuff on the internet. And so it actually does have an effect. And yeah, you would put that, that can generally be pretty brief. So it can be like a sentence long, just brief description. Next, you want to go into the actual instructions for those guidelines. And that's your actual process. That's the part that's usually going to be the longest.
Okay. But as far as defining who they are, that's reasonable. What about something like, you know, you are an expert in short form content on TikTok because you have over 1 million followers in the piano niche and you're very influential and know how to capture attention, things like that? Or is there something more specific that you would do if you were running through this process?
So yeah, I wouldn't be too specific in that first step because the second step, saying that you're an expert in capturing attention and getting into those things, like capturing attention, that's part of kind of the guidelines of what you're after. So that could go in part two. And I think some people would say they want to build the AI then to write all the short form content for them. And that's where sometimes it's not the best idea, number one, because even if you prompt it uniquely, what it outputs is still going to end up potentially being similar. ChatGPT also in its like copywriting likes to use a lot of words over and over again. I feel like unlock or unleash or certain words like this, it just happens to really use a lot. I don't know if OpenAI designed it that way.
Treasure trove. But, I've noticed that one a lot.
Yeah, something like this. And so that's an area where if you put in your example of like how you write, that can help it. For copywriting related or that kind of thing, I would put in a lot of examples so that way it gets a better idea. But what I would do there, if I was building something like for short form content, let's say, what I would actually do is I would take my criteria of what I'm trying to accomplish. And so like one of the things, how we've actually implemented this, a similar type prompt in our own business, is trying to find a way we could make a prompt that would help us identify like what's a good clip, a short form clip that we have from our transcripts. And I noticed so far, there's a lot of like clip AI generation tools out there that are coming up. Some of them are better than others. And it partially comes down to like the prompts they're kind of using inside. I've noticed sometimes it goes to like this story in the transcript that seems maybe extreme or something like that. It ends up going to like somebody's bio of what you say of like some accomplishment they had. But it's not really a particularly interesting story, in my opinion, for like short form content. And so what we did to like reverse engineer that is we looked at like, well, what's our best performing short form content? What is it talking about? And then how can we recreate it? So we figure out like, what is it actually talking about? In our case, we realized it's more of like an entertaining, approachable story that people can relate to, not necessarily something that's like insanely like mind blowing or something that is just teaching somebody. And so we wrote those kind of guidelines out in the process, but then we also give it an example of something that worked well and then use that as a way to help it say like, now, can you pick out like other stories like this one and have it use that as a process to kind of help you work through that. So I like it better than I wouldn't ask it to write me the story. I would say, here's everything I wrote so far. Which one feels the most similar to the one that performed well, or how would you rate it compared to the one that performed well?
Yeah. And you mentioned that right at the beginning, we don't necessarily want it to write scripts for us and whatnot, because it could spit out very similar stuff for multiple people. But I'm trying to dive into what it could look like as these different assistants. So these four parts, these four steps make a lot of sense. It's really important, it sounds like, to feed it as much information as possible following these guidelines you provided. How do we make this repeatable to where we're not having to do a ton of work every time we want a similar result?
Sure. So it is some upfront work in setting it up, but it would be the same for an actual teammate and like defining a process of how you want them to work. In ChatGPT now, there's the GPTs you can create. So once you make this work the way that you want, you can save that as a GPT, and then you can go and use that anytime that you have that question or that task you need to perform. And what I'm really happy about is OpenAI just released the ability last week to at mention other GPTs in a conversation. And this is cool because it kind of embodies that idea that I'm going after of having that AI team. So you can be in a conversation and be like, oh, now I got to do something with this one. You can just at mention it and say like, hey, this thing above, can you apply your short form rating process to this? And let them kind of work together in one conversation. I've gotten pretty deep into this already. And so what I've done is I've started connecting these GPTs to other software that we use in our business. So I've got one, my whole team, we've got the ChatGPT team plan. So my whole team uses these together. And we've got one that is an email reviewer. I want to find out if you can connect this to Gmail, because I think that would help so many people. We're using like a support ticketing system for our company's email. And so I know that has an API. So we've connected the GPT to that. We can ask it like, review the recent conversations for me. It can go and look in our inbox and check those. It can actually give us a rating and say like, hey, this one seems like the most highest priority to respond. And then it's also connected to our company knowledge base of how our software works. So we can then tell it like, okay, take a look at that, at this one, and draft a response for me. And then ChatGPT by itself would just make up some gibberish. But this will then actually go and search our company knowledge base, find keywords for what that person's asking about, and then actually use that to write answers. So we can take that, but then we can go a step further now with this at mentioning. And so then we could say, while we're in that same conversation, we can say, we've got another GPT that knows all of our students inside Heights platform for our own private community. It's called creatorclimb.com. And so we can check and say like, show me their details. with that GPT, just at mention it. And then it'll list out their details, say like how far they are through the course, things like that. And then we can go one more step further. And let's say we've got a follow up with this customer for whatever reason later on. Then we use ClickUp for our project management. And I built a ClickUp GPT that is able to create a task for us. So then I can say, summarize all this and put it in the task in our to-dos. And all from one ChatGPT conversation, we've then got all these GPTs kind of working for us and going through these tasks.
So what you're talking about, like, I'm equally amazed and overwhelmed at the same time. Like, for you, it's just, it seems like the possibilities are almost endless. Do you just get super excited about the possibilities, or do you ever get overwhelmed by how much you could possibly do?
Well, definitely. So like last year, when beginning of last year, everybody's talking about AI and everything, it became such a big thing. It was definitely overwhelming for me then, thinking about like, well, how is everything going to change from this? And because I think I saw some things maybe extrapolating a few more months out than other people did. And the positive thing that I realized is like course creators, community builders, coaches, like you're not going to go away. We're actually in an excellent industry right now, because while knowledge is becoming more accessible, people want that connection, that unique message, that unique experience from somebody who's specifically gone through the process, like everyone listening has. And they also want like a community. And that kind of thing can't be replicated by AI. So even though it's going to make it easier for your potential students to learn certain things, it's not going to give away the potential of what you can offer them as a course creator. So I was a little bit overwhelmed by it. Now I'm just super optimistic about the whole thing, because there is so much more potential with what people could be doing with it, even right now with the current technologies. And I think creators, if they're not leveraging AI in some way in their business, they're really leaving a lot on the table, that they could be saving themselves time. They could be creating more than they ever had before, even if you can't afford to hire a VA or a teammate or something like that just yet.
Yes, I certainly use ChatGPT on a daily basis, but you know, I learned about how you can have individual GPTs a couple months ago, and that just felt, to me, it felt like we're going exponential into the possibilities. And so I haven't explored that yet, but you're giving some good insights on how we can start exploring that. I don't even know where to go. Like, I know where to go to start, you know, logging the ChatGPT, but what are the first steps to where I could make my own GPTs, kind of like what you're talking about?
Sure. So you have to have the plus plan on ChatGPT. So you have to be subscribed to it. And I really think everybody listening to this should subscribe to it, because if you've only used the free version, that is GPT 3.5, and GPT-4 is what you get with the plus version. It's like a night and day difference. If you just say like hi to both of them, you're going to get a similar response. But when you ask them a more complex kind of reasoning question, you find that the free version, it makes up some gibberish and it's not actually really helpful. And then GPT-4, the ChatGPT Plus, it just is like the future, essentially. It's a huge difference of what it can actually do. And so in your ChatGPT Plus account, when you hit Explore GPTs, you can go to the new store. And at the top right of that screen, there's a button that's like My GPTs, and you can create one right there. And so we're really into this. Besides our own platform with Heights Platform and Heights AI and what we've built, we built the first course actually about how to create these custom GPTs. And that is available at creatorclimb.com. That's our community. It's free to join if you want to join the community itself. We've got 8,500 course creators in there right now. But this course is the first thing that came out, and it was timed actually perfectly, like unintentionally on our end, that I happened to see in my ChatGPT account, OpenAI leaked like the prompt for how the GPT builder would work while we were building this course. And it was before it came out, before anybody knew about it. I actually searched on Twitter and no one had posted about it. So I was the first person to find out how this would actually work. And once I saw somebody else post about it, I figured like, okay, I guess I can share it too. And I shared the actual prompt that I saw. And it was really cool, because the prompt for how they designed this GPT builder itself, is really unique. And I think the right approach in that, if anybody's tried it yet, then you'll know. But if you haven't, I would encourage you to go try it. And when you build a GPT, you don't have to just write in the prompt and fill out the form. You can actually have a conversation with it, and it will ask you questions and help walk you through the process and say like, okay, well, what would you like this to do? What should the name be? What should the profile picture be? It can generate a little profile picture for you with the DALL-E, the AI image generation. And what I did in my course is I talk about a lot of what I've just talked about here, but we also built two GPTs for ourselves to make this process easier. One is a task ideas GPT that when you're trying to think of like, well, what does AI actually do for me? It's hard to give an example because most people have very specific processes in their business. So you can say something more general, like I want to make a YouTube video. And then this GPT will list out all the potential things that AI might be able to help you with related to that. So like brainstorming, script reviewing, generating a thumbnail, that kind of thing. And then you can pick one of those things and it'll actually write then the draft prompt for you based on our guidelines. The second one can then review those prompts, let you know if there's any like ambiguity, if you missed anything from those four steps that I talked about earlier. And that's one of the things that we use even ourselves just to go through the process faster. But you don't have to do that. You could just go through what I'm talking about here today. And what is really nice is you can just talk to the AI about how you're trying to figure out some process. Say, I want you to help me with this. I think you should do this. And then as you start to get responses from it, you refine all that. At the end of your conversation, kind of get it all summarized and organized, and then use that final result as your new prompt going forward. So you could kind of talk it out with the AI. And I like to do that myself for like company tasks and to-dos before I put it into like our project management system. I'll talk it through and figure out, well, what are the actual steps here? These are the things I want to do. And then ask the AI to like summarize it and format it better in an actual task for me.
That's amazing. Like that's amazing. Clearly, I'm not using it anywhere close to its fullest potential. I love how dialed in you've got everything. It's hard to ask you like, oh, how long have you been into AI and doing these things, right? It's all pretty new. So, I mean, I do kind of want to ask you that, but I also want to jump into Heights as well. Like where does AI and Heights, like where did those come together? Because Heights hasn't always been about AI, right? It's been around longer than that.
Right. Yeah. So we launched at the end of 2018 is when we launched publicly to everybody. And there's no AI features really until the very beginning of last year, I guess, is when we started releasing those. And now we're kind of like an AI powered platform. We call ourselves the only platform that provides creators with their own AI assistant and their own AI coach. And we really went like all in to this because I just think it's so powerful for creators. And so like Heights AI chat, that's integrated in there that can answer questions about how to use Heights. So that helps our support. You can basically get instant support responses now from AI instead of having to wait for our emails. We didn't get rid of our support team or anything. You can still email us. But now what our support team does is like we review answers from the AI that got bad feedback, good feedback, and then we improve the content so the AI can answer better. But that's kind of like general. There's a lot of AI tools out there that can help answer questions for you. Besides that, Heights AI chat, what it can do is it can actually act as an assistant for you to actually modify your products. And one of the biggest challenges for creators when using software like Heights is it can do so many things. You can build courses, challenges, communities, coaching programs, and it can be overwhelming to learn the software, especially when you're brand new. And so Heights AI chat can actually make edits to your products for you. You don't even have to learn software anymore. And I think this is something that we're one of the first companies that has a tool like this right now. But I think every kind of software product is going to have this in the future where you could have a course, you could say, take my music production course, set the price to $199, have it set to publish, have it launch in 30 days, and do that. And then it will pop up and they'll say, okay, here's the changes I'm going to make. Does that sound good? And you just click update and it'll go and do that for you. So you don't have to go and find, where's the publish button in this? I just started using it. Where do I set a launch date? And the AI can actually do it for you.
That's amazing. That sounds cool. Let's jump back to 2018 though. What was your motivation behind creating this in the first place?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know you created a course a while ago yourself, right? Like 2013 is when you started creating your courses, right?
2013. And let me tell you, Brian, in 2013, just like figuring out where to host the course and have it be password protected and all that was a nightmare back then.
Yeah. So it was not good. And I was involved in it then. I started in 2009 in business. And we were originally like a web design agency, that kind of thing. We got more into building our own products. And along the way, I tried all kinds of things, selling software, selling digital products, selling physical products. And eventually I got really into courses and I really liked learning and teaching. And everything I saw out there, it wasn't quite what I wanted. And I saw there were so many digital marketers that were really excellent at presenting a product and they probably had really excellent teaching. But then you buy their product, which is pretty expensive, and you get in the course and it's just some videos behind the paywall. The experience as a student was really just not good. And so my like initial thought with the whole thing was, how can we make that student experience better to actually help students get results? Because long-term as a course creator, if you can get your students results, that's what gets you testimonials. That's what gets you repeat customers. And that's why you're doing this in the first place. You want to help people, right? So I looked at it as, well, we've got social media, we've got Facebook, we've got all these social media platforms that are like, their job is to keep your attention and keep you focused on that platform so they can show you more ads. And I thought, well, why can't we use some of those same principles and mechanics, but for a good thing of helping people learn and accomplish the thing that they want to do? And so in Heights, that translated to things like how the lesson experience works, things like the integrated community, things like the gamification features where you can grant points and badges and things to your students to kind of help them move along and have this better sense of progression. And so that was one of the big things early on of like, how can we create this better experience for a creator's students to be able to help them get better results?
At what point did you realize that you wanted to make AI such a big part of the product?
That's a great question too. So we realized it way before ChatGPT and all that came out, but it wasn't possible, I guess, yet. So we always had this idea of, what if we could coach all of our customers? What if there's some way we could build this tool that would help coach creators and could have some of the information that we would have ourselves, but we could give a more like personalized experience to creators without having to be on phone calls all day with thousands of creators. And so we were thinking of like, what are ways that we could build this with programming, but it's not necessarily AI. And then ChatGPT came out, and shortly after that, GPT-4 came out, and the capabilities of how good GPT-4 is finally made that possible for us. And that's what turned into Heights AI Coach. And so Heights AI Coach is the second part of our AI features. Where that's different from ChatGPT is this is the first autonomous coach. And so you can ask ChatGPT, you can be my coach, you're an expert coach for course creators. But the problem is you have to ask it questions. And many creators, they don't know the question to ask to help them get to the next step that they need. And so a lot of what an actual coach does is actually ask you questions. And that's what Heights AI Coach does as well. So it actually learns on its own about the products that you're building and everything in your account. So you have your own personal AI coach, and then it's going to ask you questions in the chat and you answer those questions. It's going to ask some general information about your business, things it may not be able to understand, like just from your account, like how many social media followers do you have, that kind of thing. And then what's really cool about it is instead of you having to ask the questions to get some kind of information back, it's going to take that in. And then every week it'll give you recommendations and tasks that you should work on in your business to reach your goals. And it actually emails those to you. And that's my favorite part. So you get to say like, oh, I woke up to an email from my coach this morning. It's my AI coach. And it gave me some tasks for me to work on this week.
I just realized something, Brian. You're coming for my job, man. I'm an online course coach and you're out here creating robots to replace me.
Well, it's still not going to replace you because As I said before, so this is better than nothing, but it's not going to be nearly as good as having a dedicated coach. And it's not going to be the same as yourself, where, again, you have these unique experiences and unique message. It's going to be different from what Heights AI Coach offers.
Yeah, no, I'm certainly messing with you. It's really, really intriguing. Why do you think that? I mean, it sounds amazing, right? Why do you think some of the bigger players in this space, Kajabi, Teachable, why don't they have these features?
I think they don't understand enough about AI and what it can actually do yet to be able to implement them. There's a lot of things that we did with this that are kind of like industry firsts in how we built them. And ourselves, like, we have the background of, we were trying to figure out how could we build this without AI for a while already. And we've been working with AI for a good amount of time now, really in depth to understand it. And so I think that advantage has allowed us to kind of be the first to build this kind of thing.
How far does your platform take the all-in-one ness of an online course business? On one side of the spectrum, you have platforms that basically will host the course, you know, the fulfillment side of everything. And then something like Kajabi, you can run the entire business in there, website, landing pages, email list. Where does Heights draw the line?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're pretty similar to Kajabi in feature set. Where I think we differ is, I see Kajabi more as like a marketing, like all-in-one marketing platform first, whereas we're a little bit more focused towards the learning experience side. So they're going to have some maybe marketing related features that we don't have, but we're going to have some more like learning experience features that they don't have. So I think like our email systems are not as advanced as like Kajabi's, like maybe email automations or things that they can do. So a lot of our creators, while we can send like basic email campaigns, lesson release emails, there are a number of creators will still use like a separate email tool in addition to Heights. But then with Heights, we've got things like the gamification elements of the points and the badges and things like that. I don't think that is available in Kajabi yet. And things like challenges and community, like we've had that stuff for a couple of years, whereas Kajabi's recently added that. But like that's the kind of thing that you would get first with Heights, whereas with Kajabi, you might get first some kind of new like sales funnel type features.
I would love to ask you about just running a SaaS business, because it's not something I personally know much about. I try to stay in my lane with courses. I guess you're 6 years now with Heights. What are some of your biggest lessons learned in running a SaaS company? And is there anything you would do differently, knowing what you know now, jumping back to when you started this 6 years ago?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things I would do differently. First, like it's hard. It takes a while. I chose this. I think it would be way easier for me to make money faster in online courses than SaaS. But I just love building software so much. So I started as this web design agency. We shifted more into webs, like from like graphic design, web design to like website and website development to web applications. And then we got all this experience doing that with clients. We've built sites that had millions of visitors and millions of users. And then it became like, well, clients want to mess things up. We want to build something truly that is the way that we want. And so it was like the perfect storm of how things came together, that I have this experience building software products, and I'm trying to do these different things selling online. I want to make it easier for creators. I enjoy learning, and it all kind of came together with Heights. What I would have done differently is I knew it would, I guess, maybe take longer than some other types of businesses to start generating more revenue. But the thing that I think I could have figured out faster was, I thought to myself, oh, now I have this product. It's a $99 a month product. That means I can just go and run a bunch of ads, and that means it's going to work, and the numbers play out because that's what our competitors do. But the thing I wasn't paying attention to, or wasn't necessarily as fully aware of at the time, was that for us, we're a small team, we're a bootstrap company, and we're trying to stay that way. Whereas most of our competitors are venture-backed companies that have raised millions or tens and tens of millions of funding. And so they can go out and spend like the first 3 years of a customer subscription on ads, and then maybe they'll get paid back later on, maybe not, but it's okay because their investors see that, like, okay, they're growing, so just do it, spend the money. But for us, like, spending $3,000 to get one customer did not really seem like the right move as a bootstrap company. So we realized that only after, like, only realized it slightly even after the first, like, tens of thousands of dollars we had spent on advertising, that it would be better for us to take a different approach. And so I think I could have figured that out a little bit quicker if I put more effort into that. But myself, I'm more of like the product guy. I love building, I love creating than like the marketing. Of course, any creator listening to this, you have to learn both as well. But it's important, I guess, to realize your strengths. And for me, I did realize that because I'm a creator, because I love creating and building all this, that's what I should be showing off. And we're not this big corporation with thousands of employees and all these investors. Like, it's me and a few other people building this. And I should let everybody know, like, hey, I'm a creator too. We're not just some faceless software company. And so that's what led to, like, me starting my own podcast, The Creator's Adventure, trying to come on podcasts here like this to share with you and to help other creators grow in their journey. And I had to realize that over time, because I'm an introverted person. I don't love just like getting on camera and making videos and talking about myself. But I realized that even though I don't enjoy that, what is more important to me is to help my customers get results, help my audience actually grow. And so I care about that more than I don't care for making the video content or being a public face on social media.
Yeah, I'm certainly introverted as well. I was working with some of my beginners to course creation recently, and they're, you know, a lot of them are struggling with you know, being on camera and talking to the camera and things like that. And so I took a jump back down memory lane and went back to my video, some of the videos I made 11 years ago. And man, talk about cringeworthy. It takes a lot of reps to get comfortable with doing things like this. But I'm glad you explained that lead up and then to the podcast. It makes so much sense about, you know, why the podcast exists, why you named the podcast what you did, and so on. When we were talking about ChatGPT or GPT-4 versus 3.5 and how much better it is, I prompted it. I just said, would Brian McAnulty be a good guest for my podcast? What do you think it said?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know how they try to restrict certain things that it says about people. But I've seen it make up a bunch of random stuff about me before, and I've also seen it get it right about who I am. So I have no idea.
It's a very long and elaborate response. I was very impressed. At the end of the day, I won't read the whole thing, but it says, Brian would likely be a valuable guest for your podcast, the online course show. And by the way, one game changer for ChatGPT a few months ago was the, the custom instructions. To where I don't have to, like, it already knows who I am and my business, that I have a podcast. So that's a really helpful thing, is those custom instructions. But I guess, like, having your own GPTs takes that to a whole nother level, right?
Yep.
So it says, for your podcast, The Online Course Show, considering his background and expertise, he is the founder of Heights Platform, an online course creation software designed to help creators build and sell their courses. His experience in building a platform that supports online educators aligns closely with your mission to help people launch and grow their online course businesses. Here's why Brian could be a great fit. Expertise in online course platforms. And then it gives a whole paragraph. Entrepreneurial journey, alignment with your audience interests, potential collaboration opportunities, innovation in online learning. Man, it's really hyping you up, man. And then there's even more here. But then I said, so then the next thing I said was, what's the number one question I should ask him? So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you what it told me to ask you. Based on your experience with Heights Platform, what is the single most important factor you've identified that contributes to the success of an online course? And how can course creators leverage this factors to significantly enhance student engagement and outcomes?
Awesome. That's a great question. All right. Well, first, I always tell everybody, and I'm sure you have as well, that you got to build your course around a result. People are buying your course not because they want to learn a specific thing, but because they want to achieve a specific result. And so there's a reason that they want to achieve that thing. And that's what your marketing has to communicate in really clear language, no buzzwords, no things like that. Because while that may sound interesting to you, your audience just has a problem that they want to solve, and they may not understand all of that just yet. So making that very clear. And then I would say the biggest thing of why we see creators fail, I get this unique perspective of being able to see thousands of creators and what they're doing with their courses. And the biggest issue is that they just fail to actually launch. And so that could be a couple things. It could be that like they're building and building and building, they never actually release it. That could be like they hit publish, but they don't actually really honestly even tell people about it. And I can point to examples like creators tend to want to be perfectionists with things. And I know like I've struggled with that in the past as well, but I can point to countless examples of people who got any one of three things right, either their product, their marketing, or their branding. And you only have to get one of those right to be able to start making money with your course. And so it's often that like the others, like there's people out there who have got the other two wrong, like really bad, but as long as they got one right, they're able to make something and start progressing and iterating. So one story that surprised me early on in our business was we had this creator earning six figures a year from his course, and he would ask a lot of questions to our support and we'd be helping him out. And we took a look in his account and he never put a logo for his brand. He never adjusted the color scheme. It said Heights. It had the default like color scheme and everything. And he never took the time to do that. And most creators say like, got to make the logo perfect. Got to make all my colors perfect. And they don't want to launch until they do that. And this creator, he focused, I guess, either on the product or the marketing. I can't tell for sure about the product because I think it was in like Chinese or a different language. So we couldn't like read through to really know the quality of it. But one of those things he had really right. And he was earning hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from his course. And like, we told him like, hey, you know, you can go right here and you can pick a color scheme. You can upload the logo. And for him, it was just like, well, I'm just making the content. I don't really care about those things. And so I think that's a great example for creators out there that like, if you're worried too much about your logo or things like that, you can change it later. Just make a great product, get it out there, start getting feedback, and then iterate on it. And a point that maybe some people fall off of after, if they get at least that far, is they think they have to be set in one way. They hear everybody talking about an online course and they think it's got to be an online course. And then, well, people are talking about challenges. People are talking about community. And it doesn't have to be one thing. You can change your business for whatever fits better with what you actually want to do. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. Like, people can make money with any of those types of things. So if you enjoy like focusing more on community, or if you enjoy focusing more on coaching or just an evergreen course, whatever that is, you can turn your business into that. And there's no harm in really like trying one of those things and realizing, oh, this isn't really for me. I want to change it a little bit.
I'm so impressed by ChatGPT right now, because like, that was a phenomenal answer. And it's the one that created that question. That was awesome. I love that story about the guy with the not changing the color scheme and the logo. Really, really cool. I certainly deal with my fair share of perfectionism. Probably the last one for you here, Brian, I really wanted to ask you this. You did an awesome job of explaining for us some of the best ways we can be utilizing AI right now in its current state. But where do you see the future going?
So I think it's only going to become more prevalent in the future. I think this idea of like having AI assistants or AI helping you with things, like while that seems almost novel now, I think it'll be like obvious and something that everybody does in the future. And I think it's going to lead to a much better life for everybody. And for creators and entrepreneurs, it's going to allow us to create like basically anything you can imagine. And what is so neat about that is before, like, we've seen over the years that it's become easier and easier for like an individual creator to do more of like being able to create videos and different things, and software and tools have given us this capability. But now with AI, like, it can help you do so many things. You could say like, well, I'm not an illustrator, but it'd be really cool if I had like a character to represent my brand too. And you don't have to hire like a designer anymore. you can use an AI image generator to help you with that. I'm sure like by the end of this year, we'll have some pretty impressive like AI video and things like that. And so if you wanted to say like you want to build a video game or a movie, but you're not somebody who does that, like you could almost get to the point that AI can help you do all those things, even if that's not your profession or experience. And so I think we'll see some creators who just create this enormous amount of like content and different types of media and content around their brand that they just wouldn't have been able to before, because they would have had to have like a team of hundreds of people. And I don't think creative jobs are going to go away. We're still going to have people. We're still going to hire people. But each of those people that we hire, they will also be able to do even more thanks to AI.
Very cool. All right. It's call to action time. I know you've mentioned a few things here and there, but where can people go to learn more about you, some of the things you have to offer, Heights and so on?
Sure. So if you're interested in trying out Heights platform, Heights AI Chat and Heights AI Coach, we've got a 30-day free trial. There's no credit card required. That's at heightsplatform.com. And if this all sounds interesting, but you're not quite ready to do that yet, if you just want to start to get involved with our community, if you want to check out what we have to offer with our AI course, that is at creatorclimb.com. And that's free to join. We've got over 8,500 members of that. That is all also built on Heights. So everything you see there, the website, the community, that's all using Heights platform itself.
Podcast?
Yeah, podcast. If you want to hear more from me and the creators we interview, that is called The Creator's Adventure. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube at Heights platform.
Right on. And no credit card to get the trial of Heights. That's a little different. I love that. All right, Brian. Yeah. Thank you, man. This was so insightful. Really appreciate you sharing all of this. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Once again, those links are heightsplatform.com, creatorclimb.com, and Brian's podcast is the Creator's Adventure podcast. This has been episode 220 of the Online Course Show. And for all the links and show notes we discussed, you can head to oc.show/220. And remember to subscribe to my free newsletter for one actionable tip to your inbox every Friday by going to oc.show/tips. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to take action on what you heard here today. I'm rooting for you.